Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
How are you, Lieutenant Governor?
I'm doing great. It's nice for having me back on the show. We always have a good time and a great conversation.
Absolutely. I know it's been a couple of weeks. If I'm being honest, I've missed you. I got to be honest with you.
I know. And where have you been? I know. It wasn't the same.
Right.
I know it's such a busy time, and we're getting a lot of emails and phone calls and text messages from parents, and they're so concerned, and rightly so, with what, you know, life is going to look like with their kids and with schools this coming fall. How are things shaping up right now?
Well, again, I'm a parent, and my children are not school age anymore, but you never lose that sense of, you know, you're responsible for these little people for the rest of their lives. And so
right.
I understand the angst that's going on. And, even when we talk about our older daughters, and, you know, it's something that parents are hardwired to do. And so I understand that. And I want them to know that the governor and I take this as seriously as if these were our own children going into a school setting this fall. And that is why, first of all, everybody wanted an answer back in March and April and May. When are they going back? Well, we didn't have an answer then. We wanted to make sure that we watched to see whether or not we could flatten the curve, as we all spoke about. And then can we make sure that, you know, it's sustained, that it stays low? Our rate of infection, finally, because of New Yorkers, is the lowest in the nation. And so we had to make sure that, first of all, the numbers, the health metrics gave us the confidence that this was still not out of control, and we're at that point. But if that changes, parents need to know we will turn on a dime. If the infection rate for any region goes up over 5% by the first week of August, we will shut it down, or we will come up with a plan B. We will come up with an alternative plan, but we're not going to let their children go out when we think that the virus is still out of control. But the next step is how we create an environment in the schools that's very safe. And there are literally 144 pages of guidelines, and I know it's a lot for the school districts to absorb, but they've been working with us from the beginning, and they've known we're going to want social distancing for the children, mask wearing, disinfecting. So there's been, you know, nothing from left field that they wouldn't have expected that we would want them to do. And we also want them to customize it toward their own individual buildings, and some school districts are tiny, some have large populations, and so we didn't want to have a dictate that says one size fits all. You know, you fit it within what you can handle and use other community buildings, you know, YWCAs and other cultural buildings that aren't being used, auditoriums at an art gallery. There's a lot of ways that we can have flexibility, you know, particularly for the older students. And maybe some of the older students are working remotely while the younger kids use their classes. So there's not one answer to this, but parents should at least feel comfortable that when it's, if the decision is made that the schools will reopen and that a school's plan is accepted by the state, that those are the highest and best standards that are possibly achievable.
Kathy Hochul, attorney, Lieutenant Governor Steve here. Is there a drop-dead date at which point you and the governor will make a decision on all this?
Yes. Because we know schools need to prepare and the teachers need to know, you know, our expectation is we are moving forward. The numbers right now, particularly even in the Finger Lakes, are just exceptionally good. I mean, about 1% they've been averaging. Maybe they pop up to 1.3% once in a while, a little bit. But, you look at the 7-day rolling average of infection, so it's very good. But if that number, for some reason, because of, you know, not just a hot spot, but a community spread situation, by the first week in August, and it exceeds 5%. That's our drop deadline. You know, the first week in August, we will make a decision overall. But secondly, we will also give clearance to each of the school districts that are submitting plans to us, you know, as we speak. And they have a deadline of July 31st, and we'll have the answers back within a week, which is a quick turnaround. But they need time to prepare, and we understand that.
Sure. Well, I mean, for me, that seems very doable. I mean, the end of July, the beginning of August, and then, you know, plans can start to be formulated for parents. It just seems to me that I know that you've talked in the last couple of weeks an awful lot about how the face has changed for daycare and for, you know, parents need a higher level of help, and it's, I don't even know if you could even call it daycare anymore. It's just, it needs to be everyone's responsibility rather than mom and dad's. Am I understanding you correctly?
Oh, with you the, sure are. And then, I've been saying this for a long time. Yeah. This is no longer just one family's problem or challenge like it was when my babies were born and I left the job that I loved because I didn't have any child care options living in Washington. I didn't have family. There were not daycare centers very prevalent in my community. So I left what I had to do. And you know, it was a financial hit to our family. My husband had just started in government. And so, you know, we managed. We were very fortunate to even have, you know, one of us working in it, and we got through it. But today, far more women are in the workforce, which is great. It's progress. And they're not just doing it. Some are doing it for a variety of reasons, but many of them are also doing it to help support their families financially. So you take them out of the equation if they now have to go back to watching children because the child care centers closed down during the pandemic, many of them did, or the fact that if school, you know, when school closed and the children who normally you don't have to worry about during certain hours of the day, you now all of a sudden have to figure out, you know, I have to work from home or I have to go out because I'm an essential worker. My children need to be someone watching them from home to make sure they're getting their schoolwork done. I think it just put a glaring spotlight on the stresses that parents have been under a long time, and I'll say parents gender neutral, except that it tends to fall primarily on the mothers, the women, you know, just historically. And until that changes, women are the ones who now more likely than not had to stay home and sacrifice their career path or the income that their family needs because there's no one to watch the kids. And what I found so interesting is the shift, as you just mentioned, in how people are viewing this problem. When I speak to business leaders in Rochester, Syracuse, and Buffalo, all the way down to Manhattan, they also now speak about this as being a problem for their comeback and actually society's comeback and our economy's comeback. We can't figure out who's going to take care of these children in an affordable, safe environment. Parents, particularly women, are not going to be able to go back to their job, and that is going to be a huge financial hit for our economy, not to have them working. It'll hurt their families, and it'll really put a real wrench in our comeback. I mean, that's what we're worried about at the state. What this will do to the New York State economy that we want to supercharge and bring it back, but we have to figure out who's going to watch the children, especially this fall if we don't end up with a 5-day-a-week school setting, which is possible that there may be some hybrid situation depending on the school district. So we need to be talking about this and having businesses step up and help us figure this out.
Yeah, because as I'm sitting here, you know, not only do I have a child with a special education need, but I also have an 8-year-old. Either way, I'd have to quit my job. I my husband makes more money, is needed.
Right.
And so that's every family would have to make that choice.
Sure.
Who has a school-age kid. So you're absolutely right. Now, we do have listeners who would like to know as to when the Excelsior scholarship is going to be available, the application for that.
Let me check on that. I don't have the exact date on that. I don't want to give you wrong information, but let's get that. And we'll let you post it.
All right. Okay, great. Perfect.
Another quick question, if we can, with Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul here on the B. You talked about the area coming back. Gosh, I saw the statistics. The statistics that indicate the death rate in New York State over the weekend was the same as it was back in March, indicating how much we bent the curve there. Here in Monroe County, we have had no deaths in 7 of the last 9 days. And you know, and over the weekend, the governor's edict on food at bars went into effect. I was quite impressed at how many places adapted to that with you know, ingenious little ideas. But we had a question about social clubs, for instance, country clubs, and again, places like the Moose Club or whatever, the VFW. Are they also subject to these restrictions on people walking up to bars or having to eat if they're at the bar?
Yes, I mean, there's not, we're not trying to carve out and only have it apply to, you know, non-private clubs. I mean, there's no particular set. If they're a food establishment, if they serve food and drinks to their members, the same requirements would apply. And the purpose is, you know, we don't want to be, you know, killjoys here. And I know that there's a lot of pent up anxiety. People have been anxious for these restaurants to open again so they can get out and socialize. We work really hard to get to the phases. And so I know, and then for the business owners and for the club owners, this has really been, continues to be a hard hit for them. But we're not trying to create an environment where it's natural and easy for people to congregate in person. And when you leave open a bar without people sitting at it 6 feet apart and eating and having their drinks, you're asking people to congregate. And what we're seeing in other states is the spread is going through the roof. They did not foresee this, that it would be affecting young people who are out there socializing many times at bars, or even, you know, they're supposed to be eating outdoors. Well, they turn the eating into an outdoor drinking block party with an establishment, and they're all gathering together, and while you're eating and drinking, clearly you're not wearing a mask. You can't. So that's how this virus is spreading. You look at a place like Miami, that's not spreading in the nursing homes. It's spreading because people have been socializing out in person. So these restrictions are tough. We did not want to have to do this, but we are also not going to go to a situation where, like these other states, they're literally shutting down the bars and restaurants once again, saying you don't even open, send your employees home. We don't want to do that in New York. We did that once. It was hard enough for our businesses. We want to be smart about what we see are some trends and uncontrollable situations. When people gather around bars, it's hard for the establishment to create that distancing. But we want to allow them to at least have some revenue coming in and have that gathering place for meals. It wasn't bars open. It's indoor and outdoor dining. And so yeah, we'll get there. I mean, this is still temporary. These are temporary situations that if we keep doing what we're doing so smartly compared to the rest of the nation, we'll get through it and we won't have to have any restrictions.
Great. Awesome. You know, we are all work in progress, and so is this, you know, particular situation. Kathy Hochul, I can't thank you enough for giving us so much time this morning. I really do appreciate it. I hope we can chat again next week. That would be awesome. It's 8:32, and our news update will come your way next. Thank you. Be healthy. Have a good week.
Thank you. Same to all of you. Bye-bye now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.